WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In New Orleans, the hunt continues for escaped prisoners. 10 in all walked out overnight from the Orleans Justice Center. Police capturing one prisoner earlier today, but say the nine others remain on the loose and are considered armed and dangerous. ABC's Maria Villarreal says authorities reviewed videotape of the facility, and it appears they may have had help.
Well, one of the things law enforcement talked about was that this is a location where you can't escape on your own. Even though they were able to get through their cell and through a toilet that was attached to their wall, in order to actually get to the outside wall, they actually had to have help from someone outside.
The Supreme Court has upheld the temporary block of the Trump administration's appeal to quickly resume deportations of Venezuelans under the use of the Alien Enemies Act without due process. President Trump criticizing the justices on social media. And New Jersey transit train operators on strike, heading now into the weekend and impacting major events in the city. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. As rates of overdose deaths decline across the country, Wisconsin saw one of the largest drops in 2024. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently announced that overdose deaths dropped 27% nationwide last year. According to their data, Wisconsin saw the third largest decline of any state in the country, dropping 36% in 2024. State health officials have routinely cited programs created through opioid settlement money for the improving overdose numbers, especially the use of harm reduction tools like Narcan. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to take an ATV and UTV safety course as trails begin to open around the state. According to a press release, there were 40 fatal ATV-UTV crashes in the state last year, most of which involved improper safety practices like failing to wear a helmet. Residents who were born in 1976 or later are already required to complete an agency-approved safety course, but older residents are also encouraged to take one of the courses to keep up with the current best safety practices. The Washburn County Highway Commissioner is reminding residents that County Highway K will see regular closures through the end of the month. County Highway K will be closed between County Highway A and Little Valley Road from 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday for construction work. The closures are currently scheduled to run through June 2nd. Transportation officials are reminding residents that no signed detour is posted and they should use County Highways E and A and U.S. Highways 53 and 63 to avoid the closures. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is advising western and central Wisconsin residents that they'll be placing thousands of traps for spongy moths over the next few weeks. The agency is planning to place roughly 8,000 traps across the region in an effort to prevent the invasive species from continuing to spread. Officials say most of the traps will be placed in public areas, but some of them will need to be placed on private property where DATCP officials suspect new infestations are growing. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Minnesota Twins. It's the start of a three-game weekend series. The Twins come into Milwaukee as one of the hottest teams in the big leagues with an 11-game winning streak. We spoke to manager Pat Murphy in his office before the game.
Everything worries me about everybody. Everybody's good. There's not a team on that schedule there. There isn't a team on that schedule that you don't respect the same way. And then sometimes you over-respect teams that you don't need to. You certainly can't undervalue any team there because every team on that schedule can beat you. The record does not matter. The Reds just got beat 2 out of 3 by the White Sox at home. You know, does that mean the Reds are a bad team? They're absolutely not a bad team. What does that mean? Tito Francona is a bad manager? Of course not. The bottom line is anybody, it's big leagues. Anybody can beat anybody any given day.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. I'll have a full recap later tonight from Milwaukee with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky with passing showers and breezy with lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, still a little windy, highs in the mid-50s. Sun's back in low 60s for Sunday. Rain chances return later Monday and especially into Tuesday. Currently 51 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us to talk about resources for Wisconsin farmers. Please don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. How we doing, folks? Hope you're having a great Friday wherever you are. Thank you for being here. We've got a great show for you tonight to help you head into the weekend in style. Conrad, what is going on tonight, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, it just started like downpouring down here in Green Bay.
I knew you were going to go right to the weather. I knew it.
Whenever you're not here, I have to go to straight to weather. You know, it was a pretty nice day though, and then it kind of got windy a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now it just
same here.
Started raining. I don't know how, if it's raining by you now.
No, it was raining earlier. Now it's just really windy. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I don't lose power because I live around a lot of trees. But it is crazy. My daughter said yesterday at Stevens Point, she was in the basement for like an hour. Oh. And a tornado touched down like 5 miles from the campus. I know we reached out to Brittany Merlot yesterday. I heard back from Brittany later that said she was like in safety, in a basement. Like, she couldn't even look at the weather because she had to stay safe. And then Corey Hartman did get back to us last night, but I kind of stopped checking the chat after 6:30, and he got back to us just after 6:30. But he said he was out chasing storms. I mean, how cool is that?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's very cool. And Corey works so hard, as does Brittany, a great team there. And and it sounds like, you know, today is a little better, but we'll see. Still stay safe out there, folks. We've got some wind here in the Marinette area. I'm looking out the window right now, and the trees are swaying a bit, but hopefully we won't not have any more tornadoes. But anyway, it is great to have you here, folks, tonight. This is Friday. We are heading into the weekend. Lots of movies opening up. Lots of great colored television to be watched this weekend because the weather, guess what, Conrad? We're talking about the weather. 50s next week. Like low 50s.
Really?
So that means, yeah, that means if there's wind, it can feel like 40s or even 30s. I'm kind of close to the water. It's always colder there. So I don't know. This is like the summer that will never start. However, I will say this, and this excites me very much. 1 week from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest movie star, possibly, arguably, in the history of the world, has a film opening called Mission Impossible. It's the 8th chapter, The Final Reckoning. Tom Cruise, that opens 1 week from tonight. And I'm so excited to see this movie. I can't believe it. What about you? You going to see it?
For a second, I thought you were going to say he's going to show up on Nightlight, but.
You know what? The guy will not return my calls. He's incredibly rude. Yeah, it would be great to get Tom Cruise on Nightlight. And he seems like the kind of guy. You know, that clip we have of him, Conrad, we have to hold on to that, where he played that joke on that guy when they went up to, like, G-Force, yes, and the guy passed out in the back seat, and Tom, yes, Cruise
that was
hilarious. Telling this. I mean, he couldn't even get through the story. Was he telling David Letterman or Jimmy Fallon or something? But
yeah.
He was laughing so hard that he took his plane up so high, the guy in the back seat passed out. That's so diabolical.
He couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it was just nice to see that human side of him, because for the longest time, you know, he was like a heartthrob. You know, when I was in grade school, high school, whenever Risky Business came out, he was like a heartthrob, and he was in The Outsiders, and he was in All the Right Moves, and he was a really good young actor. Then he did Top Gun and he did some other films. And the Scientology thing kind of followed Tom Cruise around quite a bit. And people weren't sure what to make of that. They thought maybe he might be a little weird. I don't know much about Scientology. I'm not saying it's weird. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But I know there was a stigma attached if you were a Scientologist, that they were controlling and all this kind of stuff. Whether that's true, I don't know. But Tom Cruise was part of that. And he got up on Oprah one day and jumped on the couch and acted crazy because he was excited he had a movie coming out. Everybody thought he was nuts. And listen, he is a little nuts. The guy does his own stunts. And to me, that alone puts him in a different stratosphere, movie star-wise. But now he has won everybody back over. He's shaken that kind of crazy gene or whatever it was that he had. That was perceived by the media, and now he is back full force. He's made probably since he danced on Oprah's couch, 5 Mission Impossibles, maybe more, Top Gun 2, all these great films. The guy does not make a bad film, and I've sung his praises on this show several times because I think he's amazing, and the buzz coming out of the Cannes Film Festival is just that this film is great. And he does all his own stunts once again. Sean Penn in a recent, I think it was Sean Penn was on the Lewis Thoreau podcast. And he was singing Tom Cruise praises. He thinks Cruise is not only a great actor, one of the best, but he thinks Tom Cruise is the best stuntman in Hollywood. So I can't say enough about Tom Cruise. I'm so excited to see Mission Impossible next week. And we will have to wait until then. Things opening this week. We can talk about that a little bit, but hey, we got a great show tonight. Conrad, you found our first guest, Nate Vamoff, and great photographer. If you're watching on the stream tonight, folks, Nate is a Milwaukee resident and he takes pictures around the state and other cities too, but his focus seems to be Milwaukee and he takes stunning pictures of Brewtown. So Nate will be here tonight at 6:35. We'll talk to him about his process, about his artistic vision, and he has merch for sale on his site, like a Milwaukee calendar. He does some really cool work, so I'm excited to meet Nate for the first time. And then, folks, it is a bar band. Friday night, our pal Terry Barr will be here with most excellent tunes and great conversation, like she is every week. So there's your show, and we got a great question tonight. Conrad, I think we should get to it, because we've got quite a few responses on social media we should probably start reading. So why don't we go to our question of the night?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, we got a good one, folks. What is the food that totally grosses you out? What food totally grosses you out? Like, you can't even go near it. You got to hold your nose. And it's interesting. I gave a shout out to a friend of mine who had passed away yesterday on the show. I was hanging out with his family today. Part of the reason I'm doing the show from home, I wanted to be around here a little bit more today. But great contributions just in conversation today. And someone mentioned ham spread.
Oh, yeah.
That is old school, right? I mean, have you even heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never tried it, but it just sounds disgusting.
I think it's also called sandwich spread, but it really has always kind of grossed me out. But my friend really liked it, and we were talking about, and my other buddy said oysters. But I actually really like oysters. I know the texture is not really great, but you put some garlic and some salt on an oyster, and they're delicious. But that was oyster. And then the other one was something called, his brother said, bird nest soup. That you get in China. And he said, bird nest soup has the consistency of a loogie, which really grossed me out. I've never had bird nest soup. But that is our question of the night, folks. What is the food that totally grosses you out? Lay it on us. Let us know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on your cellular telephone. You can text us on the app or on the stream if you're listening or watching, should I say, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Let us know, and we will read your response on the radio. Always more fun when you guys participate. Conrad, did you get a phone call?
We have one right now.
Oh, we got a phone call now?
Yeah.
Based on the question already?
Yes.
We might be making radio history. Who is it?
It's Ollie from the North Woods.
Ollie, how are you?
Well, I'm better today. I had a hard last couple of days. Apparently, I ruffled some feathers the other night, and I wasn't sure I would ever call in again. But
what
I
happened?
Went to anyways.
Wait, you didn't ruffle feathers on this show, did you?
Apparently, I did, and I really felt bad, and I cried all night. And
Oh no!
I wasn't going to call again, but I decided to try to put that aside because
I'm very sorry that people don't always know
other people's circumstances.
Correct. So, and if we made you feel bad in any way, I apologize.
No,
it wasn't you.
It was apparently someone disagreed with something I said about my parents bringing us to the drive-thru, and that was a hard thing to take because they didn't understand the situation, and I didn't take time to explain the situation that my parents, my dad was in the Army, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom who cooked and sewed to take care of four little girls while my dad was in the Army.
Okay.
And taking us to a drive-thru while stopping to get sandwiches and A&W root beer was their way of being able to afford to treat their four little girls to something special.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
No. Nope.
Well, I don't remember if someone disagreed with you or made you feel bad about that, but either way, I apologize.
Well,
and we loved getting the phone calls. So just ignore any negative energy, Ollie, please.
Yes, I stay away from social media because of that. And I always felt, was so thrilled when I found Civics Media and felt that it was
good.
Such a uplifting and fun show, so that threw me off quite a bit.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you said that. So, but thank you for calling back and not staying away. Never stay away, please. We love getting your phone calls.
Well, my bad food of the day is every Christmas. My mom had to have lutefisk because of her Scandinavian heritage. And not one of us kids could even stand the smell of it cooking, let alone getting it past our nose to eat some.
What was it called again?
Lutefisk, a Norwegian fish. It's a dried fish that they boil, and it's a lot of people love it, but...
You're not one of them.
I'm definitely not one of them, and neither were any of my sisters or
that's
my dad.
Great. Ollie, thank you so much for the call, and glad you came back. Never be a stranger, please.
No, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I've never heard of that, Con.
I just looked it up, and it's like, it does not look appetizing. It looks
terrible?
It looks disgusting.
Oh, that's horrible. All right, folks, that's our question. What is a food that really grosses you out? I think for me, I'm going to say bologna.
Really?
I can't. Bologna and like rice or tapioca pudding, anything, or like a cream mushroom sauce. I don't like the cream sauces and bologna. That's for me. I just can't do it.
Do you remember what mine is?
I should probably. What is it?
It's canned tuna. The smell... Everything about it just grosses me out.
Dude, canned tuna is not that bad.
It's the smell. I can't get past the smell of it. Like,
yeah,
it's... I can't do it.
All right. Let us know what your least favorite food is. We're going to read some texts when we come back, and maybe we'll play a really fun clip. Lots of fun here tonight on Nightlight. You're hearing a good night, folks. Happy Friday. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
Between 2010 and 2019, 6,000 child care programs closed. When COVID hit, they were like, we can't do this again. So they invested in us. And now our state is going to be one of six. They took the federal dollars, but our state does zero. You're looking at 25% closing. I am likely going to be one of them.
This would be good to know if you would like to perhaps call your representative.
Yes. Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rich LoCascio. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I would like to introduce to you the Pine Tree Mauler from Marinette, Wisconsin. He is Pete Schwabe!
Oh, the lovely and talented Rich LoCascio, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on Friday night. A gloomy Friday night, another gloomy night in Wisconsin. We are getting crushed, so we need to listen to the radio and talk about really fun things to warm our souls. It is great to have you with me tonight, Conrad, the kid Conrad Krieger riding shotgun. And our question of the night is, what food totally grosses you out? We're going to jump right into the texts because this one struck a nerve with people, boy. Kat, this is, I'll read, kind of reading the social media posts first. So we'll go our Facebook post. Kat Angel says liver. I don't know if I've ever had liver. Is that crazy?
No, I haven't had liver either. I just think it's disgusting. Like
it sounds gross.
It's hard to say something's bad when you haven't tried it, but like,
right.
I just can't get over that. It's a liver, you know,
it's an innard.
Yeah.
It's like saying, oh, I'm having a lung. Or I'm having a gallbladder for dinner. It just does not a good sound, especially with onions. Like onions, I love onions. That makes that meal maybe somewhat palatable, but I don't know. John on social media says canned green beans. Oh, that's interesting.
I don't
like you, man. He's
like I don't like green beans either. So
the canned goods. I like green beans. Thank you, John. Mike Desitel says liver and onions, hands down. I think we might have an early favorite here for the worst.
Yeah.
Worst food. Thank you, Mike. Eric says awful? What's that?
Awful.
Any animal. Awful? What's awful? I don't even know what that is.
I'm going to have to go to the Google.
Go to the Google. Take a memo and go to the Google. Conrad's going to look that up. Thank you, Eric. What is it?
It refers to the edible interior parts of an animal's, including skeletal muscles.
People. Is that an actual food, though? I mean, I could list gross stuff, but do people actually eat that?
This says including heart, kidney, liver, and tongue.
Oh, God. Thank you, Eric. You might be our official winner tonight. Wayne, Kathy, they also say liver and onions. Another one. Wonderfully Wisconsin, our pal, Paul, says head cheese or blood soup. Nope, just nope. And he would know. He eats a lot of food. He's been to all these cool places to sample their food. So I am going to defer to Wonderfully Wisconsin. Give him a follow. Great stuff. Amanda Nimmer, this surprised me, Con. She says ketchup. She says, I can't even handle the smell of it. That's our award-winning social media person here at WGBW. She's been on Nightlight several times. Ketchup. Yep. I used to eat ketchup sandwiches when I was a kid.
Okay. That's...
Well, sometimes, you know, like the hot dog would fall on the floor, so you just eat the bun. You just finish the bun. It's like it didn't taste that good.
I know. Or that bad. I know some people, you know, like my buddy of mine, he can't do ketchup, and he also That's can't crazy. Do sour cream. And then my aunts over in Baraboo doesn't like ketchup either, or mustard.
I mean, I really don't eat ketchup now because it's very acidic, but yeah. I like it. But I guess I can see that. Thank you, Amanda. Todd Michaels, producer of Mino and the Mayor. Get this, sushi. He says we should not eat anything raw. Okay.
I love sushi.
I like that theory, Todd. I love sushi too. Some ginger on there, some soy, a little wasabi. Get out of town, man.
You know, Festival has $5 sushi nights on Wednesdays. So I hit that up all the time.
You know, you don't need to knock the price off sushi. That just makes me nervous. That puts me on Todd's side. I don't need charge what you need to charge. No, it's worth it.
I don't think about that. I think about the price tag, right?
Yeah, but you get a lot of your meals at Quick Trip. I mean, you're not that fussy.
Well, yeah, I mean, Quick Trip is a nice little meal, you know?
Paul responded. He says, this is Paul from Wonderfully Wisconsin, says, for shame, Todd. Sushi is delicious. And then Todd replied, Wonderfully Wisconsin, and he put a bunch of puke emojis. Amanda Nimmer says, Todd Michaels, Derek, you're missing out on deliciousness. I don't think Todd cares, Amanda. He seems very comfortable with his choices. Going to the text line, Terry, she's in the 414, says, escargot. Oh, I could see that. I don't mind it, but I could see it.
What is that? Is that like fish babies or something?
Yeah, it's, I want to say octopus babies.
Oh, okay.
Go to the Google on that one, too. I might be wrong about that. I've had escargot, but I don't know 100% what it is. Rich from Madison. He's in the 608. He says, win? Wine? I don't know what Rich meant there. And then Al from Madison in the 608 says, liver. No innards in me, especially that one. It's just a piss filter. Al says the liver is just a piss filter. Ah, that's great. Anna from Madison, the 608, says, hi, Pete and Conrad. The food that grosses me out is asparagus. Interesting. I like asparagus, but I guess I can see that. Thank you, Anna. Tom from New Berlin, this is very sweet. I love when listeners support other listeners. He says, Ollie, love. So good for you, Ollie, for calling in. Thank you for coming to the defense of one of our comrades, Ali, Tom. Thank you very much. Monica in Mount Horeb, 608, says, I can think of worse, but I'm eating, so I'll just say cucumbers. Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
She says, I have a very strong aversion to them. I know it's odd, but so am I. All right, Monica.
There you go.
You have a good sense of self. There's nothing wrong with that. And let's do a couple more here. Nick from Marshall says, Balut, Con, Google. Balut. Oh, he says, which is a Filipino delicacy of hard-boiled fertilized duck eggs that contain partially developed embryos. Sounds disgusting, and I will never try it. You know, I'm going to add deviled eggs to my list.
Really?
I can't do deviled eggs. Yeah,
I love deviled eggs.
I just, I've had a bad experience.
Okay.
Thank you, Nick. We'll get to more of your texts soon. But coming up next, Milwaukee photographer Nate Vomoff will be here. Looking forward to meeting Nate. That's coming up after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the Rare Plant Monitoring Program's 2025 Plant of the Year. This year, the agency is encouraging residents to plant milkweed in their yards. There are 13 native milkweed species in Wisconsin, with five of them listed as endangered, threatened, or under special concern. Milkweed is especially helpful for monarch butterflies, as the only plants the butterflies lay their eggs on and the only food the caterpillars can eat. Residents can find native milkweed plants on the DNR website. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has started a statewide campaign meant to highlight the work of local aging and disability resource centers. The agency is hoping to increase awareness of and improve access to the centers with online resources and a toll-free phone service aimed at connecting residents with their local center. The Aging and Disability Resource Centers provide critical support for older and disabled residents, including health and social services, financial assistance programs, transportation services, and meal programs. The western Wisconsin region was the first to be slammed by severe storms on Thursday evening. The storm system moving across the state dropped significant rainfall that caused some flooding. Some areas like Eau Claire and Altoona even saw golf ball-sized hail dropping from the sky. There were multiple confirmed tornado touchdowns as warning sirens and emergency alerts sounded across the state, including in New Richmond. After landing in western Wisconsin, the storm system moved east, causing more damage with flooding, hail, and tornadoes. A Shell Lake man is facing multiple felony charges, including maintaining a drug trafficking place following a massive bust conducted by the Washburn County Sheriff's Office and DEA in April. According to court documents, law enforcement authorities executed a search warrant at the Ridgeway Drive home of 59-year-old Patrick Powers after receiving information from the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Authorities say the bust led to the recovery of 32 firearms, over 200 grams of methamphetamine, and over $5,000 in cash. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Emily in Paris is getting a star power injection. Minnie Driver has agreed to join the show for the upcoming season, its fifth. Driver's credits include Grosse Pointe Blank and Good Will Hunting, for which she was Oscar nominated. Driver joins Lily Collins, who plays the title character. Production is currently underway in Rome for the popular Netflix show. There is no release info yet on the dropping of season 5. Actress Scarlett Johansson is planning retaliation, and it has nothing to do with her Marvel character. Johansson was the victim of a joke on Saturday Night Live Weekend Update last year, thanks to her husband Colin Jost's co-anchor Michael Chi. Chi made a joke about Johansson's private parts, which shocked her as cameras caught her reaction backstage. Johansson told Vanity Fair that she was expecting a joke involving that region of the body, but was still blown away and said the joke was old school gross. Asleep with one eye open, Michael Chi. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a cloudy sky with passing showers and breezy with lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, still a little windy, highs in the mid-50s. Sun's back in low 60s for Sunday. Rain chances return later Monday and especially into Tuesday. Right now, it's 50.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
We're doing this day without childcare. What we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? What can we do to change the system? I love all the protests. I love all the people speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, including the state Republican convention with our friends at Wisconsin Watch and State Senator Royce on the Joint Finance Committee budget process. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am your host, Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this overcast. At least it's overcast in Northeast Wisconsin. Is it still raining there, Conrad?
It is, yes.
Okay. Well, wherever you are in Wisconsin, we hope you're enjoying better weather than we are. And either way, I'm just glad you're listening to the radio and being a part of Nightlight tonight. It's great to have you. Our question of the night is, what is your least favorite food, or what is a food that really grosses you out? Conrad's mom checks in and says, sauerkraut. It smells awful. Interesting.
True.
It does smell bad. Some people love it, like on brats, though.
Yeah.
I don't take or leave sauerkraut. I don't hate it, but I don't know. All right. It is a Bar Band Friday night. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Barr will be here at 7:35, bringing most excellent tunes, as she always does. And her sparkling personality, we love to talk to Terry on Friday nights. It's something we look forward to all week. That is coming up in hour number two. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, Milwaukee-based photographer Nate Vamoff. Nate, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing very well, thank you. It's great to have you and great to meet you. And it looks so much light. Are you in Milwaukee right now?
Yeah, I'm downtown.
Conrad, look at how light it looks behind me.
Yeah. It's a little different here in Green Bay.
It looks like you're in the Bahamas or something. Yeah, it's very dark.
I mean, the view straight out over Lake Michigan, so the sun's still out there. It's a little cloudy.
Wow,
but
nice, dude.
Yeah.
Photography has served you well. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
well, it's great to have you. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. It's the weekend, so we're here.
We're here. Absolutely. All right. So for those of us, Nate, we want to get to know you a little bit tonight. We know you take great photographs. We have some we can share for those people watching in the stream tonight. But it is a visual medium, and this is the radio. So let's try to get people excited about what you do despite all that. First off, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, I mean, I am a photographer. I'm also a full-time pharmacist. So the photography is just kind of a side thing that I do.
Okay.
Live downtown Milwaukee. I've got a dog named Brutus, golden retriever. And I guess what else do you want to know?
All right. Well, I find it interesting because I read your bio on your website. I saw the email you sent us, and now you just, you mentioned pharmacist often. You must be almost as proud of your pharmacy work as you are of your photography, because you don't hesitate to mention it. I think that's cool.
I think it's important to let people know that I'm not just a photographer. So I also, you know, busted my butt in school to get my farm degree. So yeah.
Can you be creative as a pharmacist?
No, that's more
legally.
not really. No. I mean, if I were doing some compounding, maybe, but I'm a community pharmacist, so I work in your local Walgreens and deal with patients day in and day out. But the photography kind of gives me a little release to get out and be creative.
I think it's so funny. When my daughter was young, we used to take her, we lived in Los Angeles, and our pharmacy was like, I think it was like one of the first CVS's or one of the first I'd heard of. And she said she wanted to be a pharmacist because the pharmacist at this particular pharmacy got to walk up like three steps into a different level. And she thought that was cool. This is what a five-year-old thinks about being a pharmacist. Like, what are the perks?
The old store I used to work at was like that.
And oh, that's hilarious.
Models changed and getting down on patient level became important. So
that's great. All right. So tell us a little bit about how did you find photography? When did you start doing this? And when did this love for this creative art develop?
So I've always been kind of creative, but it kind of really picked up steam in my last year of pharmacy school. I was going down to the Navajo reservation for my last rotation, which is kind of like on-site experience. Okay. And I just wanted to have a nice camera when I was down there. This is before iPhones were, you know, the quality that they are now. So I bought a Nikon camera, went down there, got to see some of the great American Southwest, took a bunch of photos there, moved back to Milwaukee once I was graduating, and then drones became important, or like, you know, more commonplace, and offered a new perspective of the city. So then things kind of just took off from there. People were like, hey, how do I buy photos? How do I, you know, get you to take some photos for me? And just being able to see a new perspective of something that is more common was really exciting to people. That just kind of took off, and here we are.
Wow. So that kind of happened quickly, it sounds like. You started taking pictures and people wanted to buy them that fast?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. It was just, you know, like, oh, I prioritize sunsets and I like architecture. So it's something that people are you know, familiar with. It's their home. They're proud of it. So being able to buy a photo and, you know, hang it at your house, it's
yeah,
kind of cool. So
what, how is, I know you photographed other cities as well. We'll talk about that. I come from my hometown initially was Chicago, and the great architecture there, it's known for it.
Yeah.
How does Milwaukee stack up against other cities? Like, how is the architecture there for you as a photographer?
So I'm a fan of both like older architecture, more historic stuff, but also modern architecture. Like Milwaukee City Hall is incredible.
That's beautiful.
It's just, you know, the history of it there, but also seeing like the new skyscrapers going up in cities. Like I love the Wilshire Grand in LA. That building's beautiful. The Salesforce Tower in San Francisco is beautiful. Just seeing the different, the way cities change. I love cities. So just seeing the way they change over time and, you know, why is this building going here? You know, like what prompted the skyline to change that fast? You know, just cities are constantly in a flux of change. So being able to capture that in a moment of time, you can look back at photos and be like, wow, this isn't the same place it used to be. So.
Have you ever heard of a movie called Smoke?
No.
I think you would really, you'd find at least part of it fascinating. It stars William Hurt, and there's a young kid in the neighborhood, and he kind of takes the kid under his wing, and he talks about the power of photography in one scene. And there's one of his side projects is taking a picture of the same corner in Brooklyn every day for like 20 years.
Wow.
And the way he talks about it in the movie and romanticizes photography, it's just beautiful. So I would recommend, I do for a rewatch of that anyway, it's been so long, but that scene in particular has always stood out to me. And I love what you say about architecture. I remember being in downtown Chicago probably about 10 years ago, and we were in a hotel kind of in the Rush Street area. And I looked out and there was a building, it had to be 40 stories tall, and it was all brick.
Yeah.
like thousands of bricks for one building. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
as a photographer to capture those things, it helps you realize just how intricate and beautiful architecture is, right?
Yeah. I've had friends that have been like, hey, you know, like you have like encouraged me to learn to look up. Like when I'm walking through the city, like I, you know, being down at ground level, you're paying attention to the daily hustle and bustle, but just looking up and taking in and appreciating what's built around you is kind of cool.
Okay, so we got a little bit of your background about how you started photography. When did your love of taking pictures of your hometown of Milwaukee start? You mentioned when you got back there, but when did you realize Milwaukee is a great town to photograph?
So I went to undergrad here, and just even seeing the change, and I think there's like a level of pride that Milwaukee lacked. I grew up in Madison area, and I feel like everyone was like, oh, Madison, you know, is the best city in the world. Like, it's, you know, I love Madison, but Milwaukee had this little bit of grit to it, and it was new to me. And then I went away to pharmacy school, and just seeing the way the skyline changed and the investment and the way that all the players here have kind of come together to invest in the city and grow it has been really cool to see. So just being able to capture that and get people excited about living here and calling this place home, I feel like the energy almost rivals that of Madison now, which is really cool to see. And I feel like the cities can really build on each other.
Yeah, they have a weird rivalry that I've only learned about in the last 10 years or so. I find it strange. I don't think we're a big enough state where our two biggest cities should have a rivalry. But
no, and I think they're coming together a lot more now. I think there's more to gain by the cities working together. So
absolutely. And it's interesting what you say. I agree about the grit. Like Madison is this kind of slick, you know, very contemporary, vibrant city. And not that Milwaukee isn't, but there is that grit, which to you as a photographer to capture some of that stuff must be. Where are your favorite places around the city to go with your camera?
So Lake Michigan is obviously beautiful. You've got the Milwaukee Art Museum just spreading its wings out over it. It's incredible to capture. The Hone Bridge with the lights on there. I do a lot of work with Light the Hone, which has been really cool to see the way the city lights up and everything. And then the Milwaukee River, just being able to capture the energy of the boats going up and down the river during the summer is really cool. But also in the winter with the ice, you can't beat the ice shots.
Yeah, that's great. Let's do this. Con, we have some photos.
Yeah.
Let's show some. If you're watching on the stream, folks, check out here. We're going to post some of Nate's work. It's just beautiful photography. Let's see about a few pictures, Con, if you could post those. Now, all right, tell us what's happening there, Nate. There, all right, for those of you on the radio, there's this amazing bolt of lightning hitting the water. Is it hitting the water, Nate, or is that where the bend comes out?
That's hitting Bayview. So that's hitting the land. Yeah. That was shot last night during the thunderstorm.
Really?
So that's a fresh photo. Yeah. And that's overlooking Summerfest grounds. So you just have Lakeshore State Park there. And then this giant bolt of lightning just came down. The lightning last night was just insane. I don't know if you guys got the same up there.
No, it was pretty intense up here. How did you get that? Is it a camera you leave on or did you get lucky or how does that work?
No, I typically try to shoot with my drone or my camera, but this one was a straight iPhone photo. So
no way.
I just kept snapping. Yeah, it's actually outside my window. So that's the view from my apartment.
Boy, that's impressive. My guest is Nate Vomhoff. Check out his work. You can follow him on what's the best, Nate? Instagram or
Instagram's probably see your my work? Most Instagram's probably the best. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise my website, natevomhoff.com. You can see a lot of my work there.
Beautiful photos there at his website. So definitely check that out. Con, let's see another one. Oh, there you go. Miller Park. It's not American Family Field now, right? Not
American Park. Family Field, yep.
I still want to call it County Stadium, but
it's been a few generations from that one. But yeah, so that one was captured from a helicopter. My Flight Tours is local here in Milwaukee. And the pilot's awesome, Tyler. And we go up a couple times a year and get some fresh photos. This one was snapped right before the playoffs last season, which didn't end, you know, in the best manner. But
right,
here we are.
It's interesting. It looks like the ground is coming up behind the stadium in that picture where the parking lot is, kind of in the background.
Yeah, a little bit.
That was an effect or just the way the camera was set up. But
just the way the camera is there, yeah. But being able to look into the stadium, so legally you can't fly a drone within 3 miles of the stadium during gameplay. So this is the shot that I couldn't have gotten with the drone. This is, I mean, I could do it if there was nobody in the stadium.
Yeah. But
yeah, being able to see the stadium with the lights on, with people inside, and there's a game being played was super cool.
That is cool. Let's see one more so we don't alienate our radio listeners too much, but let's see one more, Con, if we can see one more. Now, this one is beautiful. We're looking, folks. This is on your website too, right?
It might not be. I need to update.
Okay.
My website. I'll add it to my collection.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of Madison with the sky is like an orange, pink, beautiful. The Capitol is that's gorgeous. All right, we'll talk more with Nate Vomhoff. We got to do a little bit of a break here. We're going to take care of some business, and we'll be right back to talk more about photography and more beautiful parts of Milwaukee that people might not even know about. I didn't realize how beautiful Milwaukee was until I got off the freeway and went into the neighborhood. So we'll talk a little bit more about that with Nate and where else he likes to take pictures. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. After the election of liberal-leaning Justice Janet Prosewitz in 2023, Wisconsin State Assembly and Senate maps were challenged in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and subsequently thrown out as unconstitutional. But justices passed on a challenge to the congressional districts. With April's election of Liberal Justice Susan Crawford, pro-voter groups are trying again for a fairer congressional voting map. In early 2024, the legislature ignored six fairer maps and adopted Democratic Governor Tony Evers' least change compromise map, later allowed to stand by the U.S. Supreme Court. GOP candidates were elected to 6 of 8 congressional districts with only 50% of the statewide vote in 2024. Two challenges were filed May 7th and 8th, one by the Elias Group, contending that the lease change directive had no basis in the Wisconsin Constitution, and the second by the Campaign Legal Center, argues that Evers' map ignored traditional redistricting norms, splits too many counties, and didn't equally apportion the districts. A record $100 million was spent by both sides in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The current margin in the U.S. House is 220 Republicans to 213 Democrats. We've linked to the filings and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Friday night as we help you ease into your weekend. I know the weekends are fine, but we will be back on the air on Monday night, and that is when I truly get excited. If you followed our social media earlier, you might have seen that Norm Kopesky was going to be on the show tonight. That was my bad. Norm will be here Tuesday night to talk about a really cool cigar event, Smoke on the Fox. So Norm will be here to tell us all about that. That's on Tuesday night, not tonight. And Smoke on the Fox is a really cool thing, especially if you love you a good cigar. So definitely don't miss that. Right now, my guest is Nate Von. Oh, God. Nate, help me out, man. I'm having a tongue. What the heck?
Nate Von.
Sorry about that.
You're good. What happened there?
Hey, can we take a phone call for you, Nate? We have one of our listeners who wants to recommend something to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This is Ollie is back on the line from the North Woods. Hey, Ollie.
Hi. I was just listening to Nate and hearing how much he enjoyed the gritty pictures of like the older parts of different cities. And I was wondering if he had ever heard of Edwin Herschoff. Edwin was a self-taught photographer, and he did some fabulous photos of the of Minneapolis as they were tearing down some of the old buildings. And his photographs were shown at the Minnesota Historical Society, but they're also in a book, which I'm unfortunately don't know the name of, but that might be something that you might enjoy looking up and enjoy his photography.
Interesting.
It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Ali. Appreciate it. Nate, does that sound familiar?
Not familiar, but I just jotted down the name, and I'm definitely going to have to look that up. It sounds interesting.
That's
sounds
excellent.
Like he's passionate about similar stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Ali. We get great phone calls from Ali. So I was mentioning before the break the neighborhoods of Milwaukee. To me, I've always loved skylines. I always loved the Chicago skyline. You know, it was my hometown. Yeah. And there are other cities with great skylines. I never thought, when I was a kid at least, or even in my 20s, Milwaukee had this brilliant skyline. To me, and it's gotten much better now, it's beautiful. But like when you got off the freeway and got into the neighborhoods, to me, that was where I was like, oh, wow, this is a beautiful city. Like there's some gorgeous neighborhoods. Do you have a favorite you like to go to?
I mean, that changes, I feel like, depending on the season. And also, I guess, what I'm trying to get into. But lately, I've been going to the Third Ward a lot more. Beautiful with the historic kind of Soho vibes. But adjacent to downtown, it's walking distance to my place. Bayview is incredible. And then I feel like the cool new neighborhood is kind of like, it's been cool. It's the neighborhood by North Avenue.
Yeah.
All the way down to like Bronzeville it's going to be crazy what happens in the next couple of years, I feel like. So just seeing the city reinvest and rebuild what was destroyed for freeways. Yeah,
absolutely. Tell us again, please, Nate, where people can see your work. What is your website again?
My website is natevomhoff.com.
All right. So is this, let me ask you this. You seem to really like being a pharmacist. You seem like you've done well with it. But you seem really vibrant about taking pictures. So if this ever became a gig, would you want to do that? Like, where do you see photography taking you?
I'm not really sure. I'm just trying to have fun with it, I guess. And I mean, the cool thing is that I do this on the side. So if there's a project I'm not passionate about, I don't take it on necessarily. So having that as an option is kind of nice, but also, I mean, there's a lot of cool opportunities I have to pass up just because I'm tied down to the day job. But that being said, I worked hard for my pharmacist license and everything. So not planning to give that up anytime soon either.
You ever try to take like really cool pictures of pills?
No, I keep the camera at home.
That's good. All right. What other cities do you like to photograph, Nate?
Recently I went to San Francisco, was able to capture their skyline when the fog wasn't out, which is kind of cool. So you actually got some prime photos there. Yeah. I've shot Los Angeles before. I've shot Chicago before. Different cities have different rules with the drone. So sometimes it's just ground photography. Sometimes it's with the drone. I've shot Green Bay a little bit. Madison, obviously you've seen already. And then, I don't know. It's just trying to get out and capture different cities. Captured some stuff in Sydney, Australia. That was cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You've got some beautiful photos of, and these are on your website. I know because I looked at them earlier, San Francisco. You did a bang up job there. Those are beautiful photos. Are there other places around Wisconsin? Like you mentioned Madison, and we saw a picture, one of the pictures you took of Madison, but what about other parts of Wisconsin that you like to photograph?
So like I said earlier, I love cities. So cities are going to be a big draw for me. But this year I've been kind of taking it as a plan of mine, I guess, a goal to capture some golf courses. I feel like Wisconsin's known for some incredible golfing. So being able to capture some different courses would be really cool to add to the collection.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Nate. Actually, Tom, how are we doing on time?
We got about a minute left.
Okay. Can we keep you through the news, Nate, just for a few more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I've got a few more questions. I want to ask you about all these people who think they're photographers right now because they have iPhones, myself included. But we'll talk about that and what you need to be a full-blown photographer. We'll do that after intermission here as Civic Media's news team tells you what's up. Nate Baumhoff is here, Milwaukee photographer and an enthusiastic pharmacist as well. He's here. He's going to stick around through the news and we'll ask him a few more questions and maybe even ask him what food absolutely turns his stomach and get him involved in the fun here tonight. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We're coming right back. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An urgent manhunt in New Orleans. A group of 10 inmates escaping from a city jail, 9 of them still at large. Sheriff Susan Hudson suggesting an inside job.
This is very suspicious. We know that they had help. We're showing you they had help. This was coordinated. There's much more than meets the eye.
Police warning the escapees should be considered armed and dangerous. New Jersey Transit trains never left the station today. A strike paralyzing one of the largest train systems in the country. It serves commuters from both New York City and Philadelphia. Engineers demanding pay comparable to other operators in the New York City area. Casey Ventura, the ex-girlfriend of Sean Combs, finishing her testimony today in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial against the music mogul, testified she was coerced into abusive sex parties, the defense saying all acts between Ventura and Combs were consensual. What President Trump calls his big, beautiful bill of spending priorities failed to advance today, held up by hardline GOP members insisting on steeper spending cuts. This is ABC News.